Hey guys, welcome back to Podcast of the Day. And due to various coronavirus related issues, we have now gone fully digital and online, which is definitely a slightly new experience. And on Zoom, on the phone, we have Spencer Gardner, who is the national champ for Sri Lanka. And slightly unexpectedly, I get the feeling, since we always start these podcasts, and it's a very varied and open question, take it as you will, but how did CrossFit come into your life? Where did you even begin?
Well, it was a very, very good friend of mine called Aaron Glasser. Do you remember Aaron?
I know Aaron,
yeah. Yeah, everyone knows Aaron.
We went to the same box, didn't we, for years, exactly. 2 years.
Well, he was a member before me. So I was on a skiing trip with him. And I remember him saying, he said, mate, I knew him from sort of early days, going to David Lloyd's or so. Said, you got to try CrossFit. And I was like, I'm quite happy at David Lloyd's doing my own thing. He said, no, honestly, after the ski trip, come along and, you know, give it a go. And that was kind of it. I went down to Dragon CrossFit with him, did a WOD with him, which absolutely ruined me, as they always do.
Can you remember which one it was?
I can't, no. It would be something Andy created threw together. And yeah, I did that. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I went back to David Lloyd's and I had my mate who I trained with there. You know, the usual thing, Monday, chest, you know, Tuesday, back. I don't think there was leg day back in those days. It was just upper body. and I said, oh, mate, you got to come and try CrossFit with me. And then I got him to come along with me. And my idea was sort of David Lloyd's and a bit of CrossFit. And as soon as I think from my second session, I just never went back to David Lloyd's. You know, I thought I might miss the sauna and the jacuzzi and stuff. But no, I just threw myself in it. I think that was probably got to be at least 10 years ago. And then, yeah, probably a few months later, quit David Lloyd's. And I've never, ever looked back since then.
Amazing. And it's amazing how you don't miss the sauna or the swimming pool, do you?
No, not one bit.
So, in that period of time, 10 years is a long time to be doing CrossFit. How competitive were you? What kind of things were you doing?
Well, I remember probably after about a year. So my year is going to be a year or two out here. So let's say it was around about 2010-ish.
10 years ago. How did that even happen?
It's ridiculous. A different decade. I remember Andy approached me and there was this competition called Divided We Fall. And he approached me and he said, Spence, do you want to be in Divide We Fall? It's a competition.
Before we go any further, we'll just clarify. This is Andy Edwards.
Andy Edwards, yes. Is
the owner of Dragon CrossFit, now Dragon Athletic, and is the coach of Jamie Green, CrossFit Games athlete. And he was on our podcast maybe about a year ago. So definitely check that out if you're interested, guys. Sorry, Spence, continue the story.
No, it's cool.
Just great to give guy. Context.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he came to me and said, do you want to do this competition? It's a team competition down in Swansea out of, what box would it have been? Can you remember what box it would have been? I know it was on an industrial estate.
I thought it was in, or maybe we went the year after, I went as a spectator and I thought it was in like the leisure centre there.
Yeah. So before that, it was in a box.
SA1?
It could be SA1.
SA1 in Swansea. That's the one you get, the first one you get to as you're driving into Swansea.
Okay.
God, my knowledge of CrossFit boxes in Wales. Oh.
Hey, it's a decade ago. We'll be let off. No one will care. and anyway, I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of it. I'd been doing CrossFit for a year. At the time, I think I was going down to West Wales. I said, I'm going to struggle. You know, I've got a weekend away, you know, surfing down in West Wales. I'll try and pop in and, you know, see what it's all about. And I remember coming back and that was the first CrossFit competition I'd seen. I'm like, oh, Christ, I don't want to be doing that. That looks really intense, you know. Everyone's shouting at you. I thought, oh. So I think after that, there was a competition then in, you might remember this one, Brunel. Remember the one in Brunel?
Was that? No, I don't know that one.
It's not the team one. Yes, London Throwdown.
Yeah, as I say, the London Throwdown.
London Throwdown. I think it was London Throwdown. That could have been it.
I think your like development through CrossFit competitions is about a year ahead of mine, or 2 years really? Ahead of mine. So that I remember that competition the year after when it moved to the Copper Box. And I remember
where they destroyed the floor.
Yeah. And then why did we fall the year after when it moved
LC1. To LC1.
Yeah, the leisure centre.
So yes, you're absolutely.
You're ahead of me.
The thing is, they start on all those bases. They always, all these competitions, they generally, you know, develop and grow. And, you know, London Throwdown, I remember doing that. I'm sure there's probably a comp before that. I think I did one in Manchester. I remember somewhere in the Archers. Again, I can't remember that competition. They're all, you know,
it's
real,
right, it's 10 years
real. Ah, oh, early days, you know, of CrossFit, where you're outside, and it was just great fun. And I think once I started doing that, and I think one of the main things is building that confidence. I think anyone out there, even now, who does their first comp, that first comp is really scary because you're putting yourself in a position to be judged. And, you know, every person's failure in any sport or anywhere where you're on a position where people are watching is the fear of failure and looking full. And once you get over that, no one cares. Everyone's just happy you're out there competing. I think there's that real addiction to doing those competitions. And once you're like, yeah, it's cool. I think over those few years, definitely, I did a lot of competitions, definitely.
Was it ever taken more serious? I seem to remember you training for regionals.
Yes. Yeah, so I think from probably Dragon, from the time I remember, has always had a really good chance, of putting through a team in regionals, the old-fashioned regionals. And I think from so let's say 2012, I was generally coming quite high up in the open in the box. And there's a general rule of thumb that if you got top three and they got a team in, you'd have a chance of being in the, you know, the Dragon team for regionals. So it's always my aim to try and be top three, because in those days, again, it was three guys, three girls. So you hit the top three guys, and if the scores were good enough for the regionals, you know, and it would put you in that team. So I think it was 2012 I came fourth. I think that year it was Andy Edwards. you'll know all these people. Mike Fox.
Yep.
And Nathan Prosser.
Yep.
Remember Nath?
Yeah, I know.
So, and I was just behind him. And there was we have a great friend of mine, Nathan, and we were always very close. Wherever we competed, it was like always between him and I. And he just pit me. And I think that year, I was like reserve. And I never really felt a lot about being reserved for a regionals team. Because you're like, well, unless one of you has Corona or something significant happens to you, I'm probably not going to get in it. and so, yeah, for a year or two, I think I was that fourth member. Never quite got in there. And then, very memorably, 2015, again, I was fourth. I believe it was Tommy Burnell, Mike Catris, and Laurent
yep,
Camps.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
And Laurent's then at the half.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And then Laurent decided he was going to go individual. So that bumped me up into third, and that's how I made then regionals for 2015, which I think was, yeah, the year after then, 2016, was it went to teams of four, maybe. I'm not sure the time it changed, but...
Yeah, well, it's when it changed its locality as well, wasn't it? Went to Meridian in Europe rather than...
Correct.
Yeah.
At Copenhagen. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
So,
yeah.
What was that experience like?
In my head, when I got in and I got through there, I thought, right, if I get that out of my system, I'll be done. I could kind of like move on with my life. I've ticked that box. Because I quite literally, from 2012, I was fighting to get that T-shirt that said athlete regionals. That's all I wanted, genuinely. And bizarrely, a good friend of mine, Mike Johnson.
Yeah, I know Mike.
A great, great Masters athlete. He had a regionals T-shirt from when his box went, and somebody gave him a T-shirt which was a bit big. And I remember, I think it was 2014 or something, he gave me this T-shirt. He thought that might sort the itch out. And so I had this regionals T-shirt. But again, it was a bit too big for me. And I was like, oh, it's not the same. I want one myself. And I was like, yeah. So it was really trying to live that dream. You know, I had tried for like 3 or 4 years, and to get there, Ironically, there weren't t-shirts that year, there were hoodies, but I'm still happy with my hoodie. And I think I'm the only person who wears this fluorescent yellow hoodie. And the problem was that experience was incredible. I think the whole setup, I've done a lot of sports in my time, whether it's a bit of rugby, not to a very high level, mountain biking, motorbike racing. I've done lots of different sports, but not to really very high levels, just like club racing and that sort of thing. And the taste of regionals was like, it made you feel like a proper athlete, the way you were treated, the way it was set up, the sort of the pressure it put on you. And I just love that feeling of, you know, stepping out onto that floor almost the pinnacle of your sport. You know, obviously there's one more level of the games, but it was still pretty awesome buzz. And once I'd done that, I just wanted to do it again. it was an amazing experience.
So when did all of this kind of like begin to kind of, not curtail off, but when did you kind of put the regionals dream kind of to bed? Was it when it moved to sanctionals?
I'd say when it went to teams of four. I'd always only just been the third or fourth fittest in my gym and my box. So always my way in was going to be a team. I was always on the cusp. And then suddenly they chopped one of the members of the team off. You know, there's guys in the gym at the time, whether it's Andy Edwards, Dan Forster. We've got a guy called Lee Duance. There's a load of people where, unless everything falls, I might get third, but I'm more likely to be fourth. But second fittest in my gym, it's, you know, it's pretty unlikely. So as soon as it came to teams of four and two guys, two girls, I kind of knew this, it's unlikely. You know, I'll put in a fight, but it's probably not going to happen. So the way my avenue again to possibly long shot going to the games was going to be through a master's avenue. So at sort of 39, 40, I think in regionals, I was, 2015. So yeah, I think I was 38, 39. So as soon as then I was hitting 40, I thought I'd, you know, have a go at the master's avenue. So I kind of left everything behind. Masters is the way forward if there's ever going to be a chance. So I pushed that as hard as I could. So ever since I've been master, I've managed to make it to the online qualifiers. And that's obviously changed through the years, whether they're carrying on the points onto the online qualifiers or resetting. But I struggled to get higher than sort of top 100 there. So again, you know, I try every year, but to get, I think, what is it, this year's at top 10 in the world in the masters go through.
Which is just such a tiny amount.
It's just tiny. At the end of the day, I've always had a slight gripe with the masters, and I kind of understand how sports work, that they're going to put their efforts towards the area where they're going to get the most financial benefit. And if I'm going to go to the games to watch, are you going to watch the fittest girl and boy in the world, or do you want to watch the fittest 55-year-old or 60-year-old in the world? And yeah, I know where most of the crowds are going to go. And so that's why, possibly from the Masters point of view, you know, these guys, us, you know, to get to the games, you've got to go through 11 WODs this year, 11 WODs, and end up in the top 10 in the world. You know, and, you know, look at all the other people, you know, and all the individuals. You know, you do your open, you might get, you might not. You do your sanctuals, and that's how you can get there. I think it's a tough one to do 11 WODs, try and get top 10, and only then do you get there for the Masters. So
yeah,
again, that was my focus, but I knew that was probably even harder than trying to get a team through.
Had you not considered any sanctional events?
I don't think I'm at a level. Obviously, sanctional events regarding team or individual?
Well, either, I guess. I mean, I was thinking more individual, but team.
Yeah, I'm not a level where I could win sanctionals, unless, you know, I travel the world and try and find that sanctionals no one's actually noticed yet. The Bogota sanctionals or something, I don't know. And if that does exist, I do apologise, Bogota. I'm sure it's a fantastic event. I will be looking it up, and I'll try and see if I can enter. But yeah, I, it's, you know, I work, I've got a job, I've got two kids, I've got a wife. The days of back in like 2011, 12, 13, even when I went to regionals where I could put a lot of focus and time and be a bit selfish of trying to live this dream, it's kind of over. My family and providing for them comes first. And then if I can do a bit of CrossFit and you live a dream here or there, then fantastic. But definitely your focus changes once, you know, those factors are thrown into your life.
So from the stage of you doing regionals to where you are now, say just before this year's open, how much had your training changed in terms of its intensity and what you were doing?
If I'm honest, it hadn't changed. So last year, obviously, new rules for CrossFit Games come out, and it's all very interesting. I'm one of those people who's completely confused as to what was happening and how you actually got into the games. But never ever thought I'm going to the games. So all I did was look at how the Masters was working, and nothing really changed for the Masters. You still did the Open. You still tried to get top 200. The only thing that was changed is your scores were reset and weren't carried over, and try and get top. I think last year was top 20 and this year was top 10. I think something changed. So I just looked at that. I thought, you know, I just give that half a go, try and do as well as I can in the Masters and just enjoy the ride of doing the Open. So come to this year, it's exactly the same. Just do the enter the Masters. No eyes on the games whatsoever. You know, again, when was Ronnie born? Ronnie was born, well, about a year ago, April the 9th last year. So I had sort of a...
Ronnie's your little boy.
He's in nursery.
Yeah, look, yeah.
So he was, what, 9 months old. So I got a nine-month-old. I got Emmy, who's 3.5 years old. You know, I'm just doing the Open for fun. So just before the Open this year, Andy Edwards, my coach, who obviously coached Jamie Green, had said, look, Spence, I was at the games last year with Jamie. I saw the guy who won for Sri Lanka. I'm half Sri Lanka, by the way. I reckon if you enter for Sri Lanka, you've got half a chance of going to the games. I went, oh, really, Andy? That sounds like fun. Okay, whatever you say. I'll click, 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 Sri Lanka. No change in my training. I just, I'm down to Sri Lanka because Andy said so. And he's very passionate about these things. Let's have a go.
So in terms of you haven't changed your training, like per week, how many hours were you putting in? What was your like weekly routine at that point?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
It's turn up a gym around about 8:30, leave the gym around 10 o'clock. Following Odyssey programming, which is Luke Holmes and Andy Edwards' baby.
Yes.
So I just follow them. Turn up, do it. Maybe once a week, do a class as well. Thursday, do a bit of active recovery. And then Saturday, weightlifting with the guys at the gym, and then a team mod.
Yeah.
And that's basically Sunday.
I love that that's still going because I used to do that. And even when I dropped in like a couple of years ago, I still do that.
Yeah. It's nice to know nothing's and team changed. Mod. It's consistent. Yeah. You come back and you're fantastic. And yeah, so I just stick to that. You know, I'm careful with my diet. I don't eat rubbish. I know I have around 3,500 calories a day. It's nice and balanced. Limit my sugars, etc., etc. And so after the first WOD, you know, just click on your app because I want to see how I've done. And obviously, I'm ultimately looking at the Masters anyway. And then I'm looking. I'm like, okay. Huh. And obviously, it comes up on your app as Sri Lanka. And so my scoreboard is Sri Lanka. And I'm like, you know, first, second, third. I'm thinking, wow, I've never been on top of a national leaderboard. Thinking, oh, that's actually quite interesting. So at which point, I'm like, let me have a look at last year. And I checked my numbers against the chap who won. I'm like, oh, I actually beat you last year. I would have gone to the games last year if I'd, you know, represented Sri Lanka. I'm thinking, actually, Andy's got a point here. There's actually a real chance. So like my first WOD, I thought I had to do a video. So my video was absolutely rubbish. I was like, yeah, I'll stick it on the laptop. You can barely see the clock. Okay, fine. I'm like, I better redo that because I actually could need that video. So I ended up redoing the video just to get everything in line, you know, my things in order. So in the second WOD, I couldn't honestly tell you where I came, but at the end, I won. And I'm looking at this leaderboard and I'm like, I'm first in Sri Lanka. And it was at that point, really, that it was, this is really quite possible. And I honestly, even that first WOD, I never really saw it as something of going to the games. Like I say, like we chatted before the interview, it's like the biggest thing from this is I'm just that guy who does CrossFit, relatively competitive, who's got an opportunity to go to the games. And that for me is like, I had an opportunity. Like I said, it looks like this virus may have removed that opportunity, but hey, I've got the email.
When did you start taking it seriously in terms of the Open? Was it after that first workout when you started to realize you were doing fairly well?
First workout, without a shadow of a doubt. First workout, I looked. Was it the burpee workout? I think it was burpees.
Oh my God, they were all into one. I can't remember.
I know. I'm glad you said it. We can't even say it was 10 years ago.
No.
I think it was, which is by far my worst workout. And that was it. When I re-recorded that, and I was like, sugar, I've got to redo that just to get the video.
Yeah.
So I'd say that was the point. And I was like, yeah. And even then, I'm trying to give an analogy to other people who don't do CrossFit. And like some people, I'm into my motorbikes and my racing. And it'd be like, you know, Valentino Rossi saying, hey, Spence, do you want to... Do you want to run my bike in the Mugello, the Italian MotoGP? I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a frigging go. Valentino, I'm not going to win, but I want to ride your bike and I'll really give it a good crack. And it's kind of like this. I'm not going to win the games, but I'm going to give it a really good crack.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do you feel, did you feel extra pressure? Did you get to that point and then suddenly things got really damn real? And obviously you clearly want it. Like, doesn't matter, like, whether it's 10 years ago or now, you know, did you start to think, I have to do this for myself?
I think the pressure came. I honestly can't remember how it unfolded, but there was, I think it possibly was the third or fourth WOD where the other chap, Andy, which is a guy in Sri Lanka who went last year, he beat me. And I was like, I think we had equal points. I was like, well, I've got to win this. I think then there was either the muscle up one or the clean. Yeah, then the clean and jerk, yeah. Where it was like 124 kilo clean and jerk, one of the steps in the ladder. And I was looking at his stats and I'm like, unless he PBs at the end of this WOD, I don't think he's got 124. I was like, there's no way. And so without being too confident, I'm like, all I've got to do is one of those 124 kilo clean jerks, and I've kind of got him. And so my entire, I think there were, is that the one with the pistols in it? I think there were pistols.
God, it's so just long
nod.
Ago.
Just nod.
I'm just going to nod. I was like, I wish I could remember last year's Open. I did it as well.
Some people, speak to someone like Andy Edwards, you're like, oh, does it have pistols? Yeah, it had so-and-so pistols, with this, that, that, and he'll reel it off, and it'll be like back in 2006. I'm like, wow,
it's so okay. Bad though, isn't it? You know, like I remember one per year. That's kind of seems to be how my brain works. Like, and it's always the one that I really hated. So this year I can remember the muscle up row one.
Oh, that's great.
Because I can't muscle up. So I was like, this is fucking shit.
Just stare at the muscle up rings. Like, yeah,
great.
I'll keep rowing.
It doesn't matter how many years I do this sport, I'm still just cannot get to muscle up.
I timed my whole workout just to have, I think I had like 20, 25 seconds, the clean and jerk, 124, I think, odd kilos. And if you look at the clock, I lock out on like 1 or 2 seconds to go.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, God, I just timed it. I didn't want to have two. I just knew I needed to have one. And then obviously then after that was a muscle up workout. You know, rowing, war balls and muscle ups are my three things. That's my jam. It's like absolute. And I think I did that workout 3 or 4 times. I just loved it. Because you could break it down as you wished.
Yeah, and each breakdown brought about a different, slightly different number.
Amazing.
It's so interesting.
So interesting. So, and again, I did those with Andy, and Andy and I were playing with that. And yeah, I think I beat him by about 2 or 3 minutes on that one. So again, I was confident knowing him. I think I'd spoken to him on Instagram a few times. We were chatting. So it's, you know, we got to know each other a bit. So by that time, I kind of like the pressure was semi off. And I thought, I've got him. I've got him in the bag.
So from that point, you obviously, you get your official invitation. Super exciting.
Yeah.
Then you need to think about actually, you know, crap, I'm going to the CrossFit Games. I've got to train for this.
Yeah.
Did anything change for you at that point? Did you have to like really look at what you were doing and think about how you're going to progress this towards like a big end point?
Yeah, the one thing, like, I actually sat down with Andy, that was, takes a lot of time to get that invite. You've got to prove documentation of being Sri Lankan or your national champion.
Okay,
you've got to go through, then you give your videos, and the videos take forever for them to come back to you. And with the videos, it's kind of like no news is good news. And so I'd have to check my email inbox for the invite, but you're talking, it takes several months before you actually know. So, you know, people talk to you, are you excited? I'm like, no, I'm not excited because I haven't had my invite. So I just forget about it. If it happens, it happens. It, you know, if it doesn't, whatever. But everything went through. All my videos were signed off, which again, it's quite a nice feeling when, you know, I wasn't doctored at any points. It kind of, you feel legitimized that, yeah, yeah. I'm a legit athlete. You know, everything was locked out. Everything's happy. So once that came through, I sat down with Andy and we were basically looking at what the goals are. So I think it's really important, whatever you're doing, to have goals set, because my goal isn't to win the CrossFit Games, which is obvious. What's my goal in going there? And looking at last year's games, Andy was, your aim is to make the first cut. And
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Has got to be your main thing. Yeah. And last year, we did some testing. We paid about the WOD. We believe from testing, I would have made that first cut. So the idea is, right, you get that first cut, and then after that, you know, you do what you want. So we're entering the games with the idea of making that first cut. I have heard through some people that it's changed slightly, that there's going to be 2 days of competition instead of one before the cut.
That is what they said after the rather negative feedback on last year's first cut, which is outrageous. You have to, like, I was chatting with the national champion of Barbados a couple of months back, and he went basically to work out once and not finish it. And you just go, oh my God, you spent all that money. You did all that training and you're going home after the first morning.
Oh, it's savage. But the only positive you could glean is in that interview with Dave Castro, he actually wanted that the snatch rate for the guys to be 100 kilos, not 80. And you're like, well, that would have been like, most of those national athletes should have come out and you just stand there and you're like, you know, at least it was a workout you could do, to have a workout where you're cut and you can't do it. You're like, what have I come here for? The t-shirt and the trainers. You're like, which is cool. As someone who's chasing that t-shirt at regionals.
It's going to be a big day when you get your stash pack.
Honestly, the other little journey, I call it, is, you know, I'm learning about what happens to somebody who goes to the games. You know, even like when you get an email regarding the CrossFit Games, like, it's only a handful of people will ever see that email. And even things like, could you go online and fill in all the sizes for all your different types of shoes and, you know, your t-shirts, your hoodies, your sweaters, all these different items of clothing. And even that, it's just like, it's just exciting. So, so those are all the bits of kit I'm going to get with my little flag and name on. So, it's quite exciting.
How did Meg and the family take the news?
Yeah, awesome. The question was whether Meg and the family were going to come out or not. But it's a really young family. The way I describe it, like regionals, if I had my family with me when I was at regionals, it would have been tough, because it's a really selfish time of your life of like, this is about me. It just is. These few days, it's just got to be about me. So they were going to come out, but we decided not to, because I just wouldn't be part of the holiday, and I don't think it would be a holiday.
Yeah.
So our idea is hopefully at Christmas go away on holiday, and this is all assuming, obviously,
we can travel at all.
Exactly. They're absolutely chuffed to beans. Meg knows exactly how much it means to me. She knows it will take a little bit of sacrifice, with the family running up to it. But, you know, when I got the invite is probably around about February. So you are talking, what is it, seven months away. So for me, especially being an older athlete, I don't work out double days, mainly because of time and job. And also, at some point, you've got to sort of admit you're getting older.
Not that you're doing that.
No, I've ignored it for a long time.
Motorbikes and professional CrossFit.
It's a good life. And the one thing which I don't want to happen and stop me is hurting myself. So I need to get to the games. I think that's the most important thing. So the training quite cleverly is important. Let me get there fit and healthy. So, you know, 2-3 months out, I'll ramp things up. But for now, I'd probably stick to what I'm doing. I'm actually doing a strength session block with Jordan Hillier.
Don't know him.
No, okay, so it's mainly powerlifting. So back squat, bench, and deadlift. And I'm trying to build a nice solid foundation for my CrossFit. So I'm having a go at doing that. It's a 12-week block, just to try and get really strong, get all the muscles strong and firing. And then my plan is that I'll make me less likely to get injured and a better platform then to build my Olympic lifting. You know, at the end of the day, you know, pulling from the floor, if I can pull better, more efficiently, I'm less likely to hurt my back. I've got back problems. And just be train smarter, really.
So how do you train smart and adapt everything to this new normal of not being able to leave your house?
I'm lucky where I live. I live in the middle of the country, down the end of a very little lane. I've got a long driveway to a little cottage I live in. I've got a decent garage. Andy has given me some kit. So I've got a load of kit, nice rubber flooring, etc. in my garage. And I've turned it into a space that I actually quite enjoy going to. So it allows me to follow my strength program with Jordan, and then keep up with my cardio. So my idea is try and maintain my cardio fitness and then build up on my strength. Worst case scenario during these times, if I can maintain and just sort of work on my movement, I'd be happy. You just don't want to decline.
And yeah, I think for sure.
Days, it's so easy when you're stuck at home, lack of routine, with the kids, etc. It's really, really hard to get that routine going. And you do feel like you lose that edge. I'm not a great one for training on my own. And for those guys who train on their own day in, day out, it's probably not the end of the world. But for me, where I love that element of competition. I train with a friend of mine called Tanny. And I go in and we squat, and without knowing it, we're competitive. Even if we're not going for one RM, but there's a certain amount of competition of who's moving better or whatever. It's constant, and you get a lot out of that. And then to go into a garage and do that on your own, we got a little WhatsApp group. We constantly send stuff, and we try and get that. Probably without even knowing it, we still have that element of competition between us, and I think we all thrive on that. So hopefully that'll keep it a little bit competitive and maintain that strength.
Is it quite difficult? Because we know there isn't necessarily going to be a Games this year. Like, it's so up in air. Does that play with your motivation at all? Or you're just working as if it's going ahead?
Even if I wasn't going to the Games, I'd be doing what I'm doing now. So that's the beauty.
Yeah, that's good.
Like I say, I know I'm getting older, and for me, that's an even bigger fight to not lose strength and mobility. So there's no point where I would be, I'm going to stay exactly as I am and, you know, just not bother. I'm always going to bother. I'm always going to try and be strong and fit. Realistically, my belief is the Games isn't going to happen. If it does happen, fantastic. I'll be chuffed to beans, but I don't think it's going to happen. You mentioned possibly an online competition. If it is, you know, then I'd be in it and I'd enter it. But no, I just keep training. It keeps me sane. I love it. And if there is a Games, then fantastic. If not, you have again another go next year.
Yeah, you would be keen to do it next year if there was one.
I would. I'd do exactly the same as I did this year. Just, you know, I'd enter
and see how serious it got.
Yeah, exactly, and give it a go. Yeah. Like I said, from those years ago where regionals, I could focus all my energies on trying to get into regionals. You just, with a family, you can't do that. It can't be your priority. It's got to be that thing on the side, that slightly selfish little itch.
What was the biggest learning curve from a kind of a commercial perspective? Because you've gone from just being like you said, a normal fun CrossFit athlete to now trying to have to get sponsors on board and make some money to get you to the CrossFit Games unless you're self-funding. Like, that comes with its own set of pitfalls.
Yeah, I am absolutely useless at that as well. Absolutely terrible. So my social media presence is ridiculously small. I think I've got like 600 followers.
606.
Thank you very much.
I got you right there.
Fantastic. So initially I gave it a huge push. I contacted everyone. I went for Nike, I went for all these companies. And it's a real struggle because their driving force isn't what I'm doing, it's my followers. So, you know, there's people out there who might have 20, 30, 40,000 followers who do classes every day. They could get sponsorship. But just because I'm going to the games, it doesn't carry any weight that I can have a sponsor. I was very lucky. I contacted the guys at Awesome Supplements. I got a bit of a relationship with them. I spoke to them, said, look, give me a go. I don't want any money. Just, you know, give me a code. Let me try and generate some income for you guys if you can supply my supplements. I don't generally have a lot of dairy. They have a fantastic vegan protein, which I adore, and I was having before they sponsored me. But yeah, they supply my supplements. And I've got a 10% discount code. Have I done well there? Spencer10 discount code.
There you go. That's the one.
Have I done that? There we go. and yeah, so they're looking after me. But anyone else above from that actually trying to get money, unless I can generate the followers, or there's somebody in the community who likes me and wants to help as a financial gain to a company to sponsor a national champion with 606 followers, there isn't actually a gain for them. So you can't really get sponsorship. So if there's anyone out there who wants to sponsor me for the games, which is probably not going to happen, please send me a check or bank transfer, PayPal. I take anything, Bitcoin.
great sell. Yeah, what is Spencer really hitting this
home? I'm trying. It is really hard. And I think most national champions out there probably are in a similar situation with limited followers. There's a guy who Awesome Supplements sponsor. I won't mention him. He and only recently found this out, but he gets sponsored by them, and he was a lovely, lovely chap. He went to our box. He's moved to London. He'll probably work out who he is if he watches this. But I learned that he's sponsored by them purely because he has thousands of followers. He's just, you know, he's just a class going a CrossFitter. But that's the draw, is your followers. It's not what you're able to do. And, you know, how many followers will I gain going to the CrossFit Games? I don't know. We'll see, you know. But it may be a longer term thing that if I can keep going, maybe I'll gather followers and sponsorship. But it's really, really hard to get any money together and backing to go to the games for sure.
I think it's harder as well because you are in Wales and not in London.
100%. I'm in Wales and I'm not in London. I'm the fittest in Sri Lanka. So do I aim for Sri Lankan sponsors? You know, who am I appealing to? It really does just come down to that followers number. You know, if I had 10, 20,000 followers, I think I could be anywhere in the world. I have a value to somebody.
Yeah.
Because I say something and people are seeing me and they know my followers are probably going to be something to do with sport. There's a value. Again, it's harder. And I put a bit of time in at the beginning into trying to do it. And like I said, I must have contacted 30, 40 companies. I think Noble were really nice. Everyone was actually, you know, Virus were really nice and helpful towards me. I think Noble had promised to send me out a pair of trainers, but again, they're not really willing to sponsor me. And I watched that The Fittest on Netflix, and I saw that like Tears sponsored by Noble. I thought, yeah, I can see why they don't want to sponsor me. They got the fittest in the world and the fittest in Sri Lanka. Yeah, it doesn't fit with their marketing model, possibly. But Noble, thanks for sending me the trainers. I'm still waiting for them, but no doubt they'll come out soon.
Oh, bless you. But then I guess these are... Does it still make it worth it? Like, the fact that you're realistic, you probably have to start self-pay, you pay your own way to a certain extent, and it's like a glorified... a hobby holiday.
Yeah, all day long. And again, I put it down to, like I say, Valentino Rossi comes up to me and says, Spence, for £2,000, which is probably what it's going to cost me, for £2,000, you can race in the Mugello Italian MotoGP. Yeah, here's £2,000. I'll do it. And it's kind of the same. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to go out there. I'll be left with memories that no one can take away from me and a load of kit.
which everyone can take away from you.
Exactly.
That kit's going to be all around the box by the end of the year.
Exactly. So, no, I think it's a pity I can't get sponsored, because it would help, but it wouldn't stop me. No, I could sell a lung or something like that.
There's still time. Don't sell your lung.
There's still time. You can run with one lung, can't you?
Well, I'm not so sure with this virus going around. Stay safe, yeah.
Yeah, I might need that.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. Yeah, literally my actual working day starts in 3 minutes.
So fantastic.
I better let you get on with yours as well. But really appreciate you coming on. If people want to find you and follow you, which is clearly the important thing, where can they find you and follow you?
Spencer_CF Games. Is that my tag? I recently changed. That was another thing. I did a little change. Somebody suggested change your CrossFit name. I got a lot of grief for it from my friends.
I've
taken it on the chin. I think it's Spence_CF Games. There's some fantastic content on there. You get to see me change train in my garage. So yeah, please do follow me. It'd be great.
Amazing. Yep. Here you go. I don't know if you can't really see that very well.
There it is.
There he is.
Spence_CF Games. That's me.
Thank you so much, Spence.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming on.